Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. It's the end of the month where we've got a patron chat and we're talking about some funny, silly, goofy things because they all voted and they decided that we're going to talk about some of the silliest stuff that's in the Fallout games. And joining me this month, we've got kind of a smaller crew. We've got a few people who couldn't make it. There's some things going on, but we've got some people showing up like No Fill, No Thrill, Void, Lil Green, Pumpkin, and Adam's Child. And on the count of three, I'm going to make you do it. You're going to make a sound, some sort of sound that has something to do with the thing that you're going to be talking about this week. So get ready to unmute. Here we go. One, two, listen for pumpkins. Three.
Not happening.
You will soon find out why Pumpkin was being very careful about the sound he makes as we get into this. But to kick us off this week, Void is going to start us out. And Void, we were talking in the pre-show about some of the things that might be possibilities to bring up. And you've got a good one. This thing's pretty weird. Why don't you share with us what your topic is?
So the Wanamingo originated in Fallout, I believe, one.
Two?
Was it two? One or two? I don't know. I did a video on it like 6 months ago. So,
now you know how I feel when people are like, you shouldn't. How do you mess this stuff up? You've been doing this for 6 years. And it's like, yeah, man, it falls out of your brain. Like it just happens. So, go on.
But it originated in Fallout 2 as like this. No, it was Fallout 1 because it had an updated model in Fallout 2. Anyway, it was a husk, I believe, it was a cave of dead ones, I believe, in Fallout 1.
Maybe.
But it originated as this like almost hard shelled alien looking creature that was it kind of had legs like a T-Rex almost.
Yeah, like chicken, very, little chicken looking legs.
Very much inspired by the Xenomorph from Alien.
Mm-hmm.
And no one really knows where it comes from.
Yeah, it's a weird looking little dude. It's like mostly a mouth, like a head with a mouth, some funny looking little legs, like tentacle arm looking thing. Like, it's a weird thing and definitely stands out compared to some of the other creatures in Fallout games.
Yeah. So
fleshy. It's weird. But yeah, go ahead. Continue.
So with it originating on the West Coast, it was originally found in North California. It had the shiny dark skin, like I was talking about, like the almost hard shell on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also covered in slime, had no identifiable eyes or necks, and it had a large mouth lined with razor sharp teeth, somewhere between 4 and 14 inches long.
Those are long teeth.
That's, yes. This is the first time that we saw this creature.
Yeah.
And nobody knew what to make of it. Now, fast forward to in our timeline, but rewind in the Fallout timeline back to Fallout 76, and we see it in, it was Fallout 2, by the way.
Fallout 2, yeah.
I mean, we find it in Appalachia.
Right.
It's in the Skyline Valley update. And originally, all that we had was a plushie, and then we got a dead body of one, I believe, in some sort of bunker or vault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it looks a little different in the Fallout 76 version. It's been updated. It's a little more high res, a little bit more texture on the skin, less smooth looking, and little spiny things on its head.
It's more very much
froggy.
A little more froggy. Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
Yeah. It had, instead of the shiny dark skin, it has much more leathery or fleshy skin, paired with a short torso and stocky arms and legs, almost like a frog. And instead of the tentacle-like wavy arms that the original one had, now it's arms and in claws.
Yeah, and they're kind of stubby looking. They're a little chunky. Yeah. They're kind of thick. You know, like stubby little. They remind me. It reminds me a little bit of the little geckos. You know, the little geckos in New Vegas. Like the way that the way the proportions are. Like the little tiny. It's almost like a tiny shaped body, but the creature can get bigger. It's, but yeah, like that stocky kind of shape. In at least the newer version of it, less so. The older version is more, it's got like the tentacle arms and the skinny legs, and the newer version has like thicker arms and kind of shorter legs.
Yeah. It's orange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got more of an orange color than like a,
it's a little maroon. Odd.
Yeah. They're weird. They're like, this is one of those. So part of what's fun about Fallout is that they don't always explain everything. Like we get explanations about like Deathclaws and some of the origin of Deathclaws, some of the origin of some of these other creatures, some of the things that have been mutated by FEV into some sort of weird things like the centaurs or the Snallygaster. Like you get that kind of stuff. But then you get stuff like this where it's just like, what even is it? Is it the same exact thing as the Fallout 2 version? Are they different versions of the same thing? What's going on here? Super weird. It's just a weird thing. I agree.
Now, I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to read a paragraph from the fandom wiki page.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Because this paragraph made us just die laughing. Since then, many theories have emerged about their origins. That they were a previously unknown life form endemic to the region before the Great War, genetically engineered weapons, and even invading species from another planet, which resulted in them being called aliens by some wastelanders. Some speculated that they were supernatural creatures called down by native tribes to punish white people for the nuclear holocaust and impervious to gunfire.
Which is your favorite explanation?
Honestly, it's probably an unknown life form endemic to the regions previous to the Great War.
Because that one seems the most likely.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, with the amount of abandoned mines that there are out west, the amount of abandoned mines that there are in Appalachia, it's very possible that stuff could have mutated down there before the bombs dropped.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. There's all sorts of reasons why things could have either accidentally or intentionally have been changed in the lore. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think that's probably the most likely one. Now, what is the most fun? which explanation do you want to be true?
I think they're supernatural creatures.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely, they were called down by native tribes to punish the white people.
I think
for the nuclear holocaust.
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea. Or that they're just aliens. Like they're not Zaytans. They're just kind of some other weird alien life form that just showed up somehow. And we have no. What if they're pets? What if they're like Zaytan pets? What is
I wanted exactly to say this.
Yeah, yeah. So Phil, like there's like their dogs or something, right?
Yes, yes. They were like the dogs, or they made experiments or with them, and then something went wrong. And then the mothership Zeta was like, oh no, pull the release, we just shoot them to Earth.
Right, right. Yeah, they need to go out. We need to let them out. And then they forgot, oh, we forgot the leashes. And then they run off and they're like, oh crap.
Yes, something like this.
Yeah. I like that theory a lot more.
Yeah,
that's that they're Zeytan pets.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that could be good. That could be good. Let's open this up. Pumpkin, I know you've got thoughts about this. So this is something you guys have talked about previously. And
so, yeah, me and Jeremy have actually got an entire episode just talking nothing but Wanamingos. It is actually our first episode on Tism Talk. So, like, it was, and when we were doing it, I was at work. So he was kind of just reading all these articles. So I had no idea what he was going to say next. So when he said that originally, I was at work, dead silent, no one's around, cackling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a good explanation. I think it's fun. Do you have any theory? What are your thoughts on this? Do you think this is like a... Do you think there's any credibility to the Native American thing, or do you think that's just kind of a fun explanation?
I think it's a fun explanation. I like both the alien and the unknown species one. Like, it could just be an unknown species that mutated.
Right, right, right. All right, so here, let's turn this the other direction. What do you think they will do with this in the future? Do you think this will be a creature we'll see in, say, future Fallout games or future updates to 76 where we get some sort of explanation? Or are we going to get variations on it from different places where you have something that's like a Wanamingo but like mutated in another direction?
I think with us getting a body in Skyline Valley, I think that's a huge step forward for the Wanamingo, considering that the last time we saw it was, again, Fallout 2.
Right.
And technically that plushie that Jeremy had brought up was in the game in Fallout 76 since the early days.
Right.
It's before Wastelanders. That's how long it's been in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they brought back floaters and stuff like that.
And they brought back floaters. So there's a good chance that we could see these come back. And I would like to see different variants, like a glowing variant or an albino variant or something like that.
Yeah. Or a giant one. You could have like a giant one that's like a boss in some sort of raid or something. Like a dungeon. That would be cool.
There is in Fallout 2 a Wanamingo queen, and she is silver instead of dark.
Yeah, well, bring back the Wanamingo queen.
You can find her in the Great Wanamingo Mine. Imagine that.
Well, I'm pretty sure Wanamingo's a location in the game, so not just Wanamingo Cave, but it's named after a location. Yeah.
This is fun. This is a fun one because it doesn't come up very often. People don't talk about these very much, but it's definitely something that they should do a little bit more with in the future. Any last thoughts on this one, Void, before we move on?
Wanamingos will forever have a place in my heart, specifically for the last couple lines in the paragraph I read. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Void. Thank you for that. All right. Who would like to go next? Next up. Pumpkin's shaking his head still. We're going to save you for later, Pumpkin. We're going to save you for After Dark, the After Dark session. Adam's Child has a hand up. Adam's Child, how's it going, man? What are we talking about today?
Sorry, I had to unmute myself. So today I bring to the table a weird character from Fallout 4. You all know him. You all love him. He's Oswald the Outrageous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He is the ghoul that is a magician. He can teleport. He is a glowing one. He can raise ghouls from the dead and just keep on keeping on until he gives up or whatever. I mean, eventually you do wear him down, but he never dies fully.
Yeah, I think there's a few different ways the storyline could play out, if I recall. It's been a while since I've done this one. It's in Nuka World for anybody who hasn't played. He's in the whatever that weird location is where it has all the traps and stuff that he set up.
Kitty Kingdom.
That's it. Yeah.
Specifically in King Cola's court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if I recall correctly, and again, this is just off the top of my head, I think there's maybe at least two options to how you end that quote unquote dungeon as you get through it. But he's weird. Like he's legitimately, or it seems to be, a magical character in Fallout, which is super strange because it's usually some sort of sciency, sci-fi, hand-wavy kind of explanation for weird stuff. But he appears to be magical. What do you think about that?
See, he's... Okay, also, I looked it up. You can kill him. So he claims to have magic, I believe. I mean, he is a magician.
Well, he
I mean,
kind of he summons, literally... he like summons the, if I, again, if I'm recalling correctly, he summons the other ghouls to himself. He like they rise when he calls them, if I recall. Is that right?
Well, in the wiki, officially it says that he uses bursts of radiation to heal and revive nearby feral ghouls.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And, as a former magician employed by Nuka World, Oswald believes his ability to resurrect dead ghouls to be genuine magic.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's okay. So I guess the hand-wavy explanation is it's radiation. But when have you ever just put a dead ghoul in radiation and all of a sudden it, like, comes back alive? That's weird.
Right.
That's weird, right? A little bit weird. Also,
I mean, that could also be the Fallout TV show logic as well, because
that's true.
Use the radiation to heal themselves.
Or maybe they're not completely dead, and so it heals them enough for them to get back up. I guess that could be the explanation. But he is a wacky character. What do you think about the whole, like, personality thing? Do you think he's just gone insane, or do you think he's just, like, playing it up?
I mean, he's been alive for a really long time, so, I mean... Like, he could have gone insane, but also, when you're the last man standing, you kind of have only yourself to keep you company.
Yeah.
And for him being alive as long as he was, he he probably did lose a marble or two.
Yeah, yeah, maybe, maybe. I remember feeling kind of bad by the end of it. I kind of felt bad for him.
I wanted him to be a companion.
That would be cool. That would have been cool, yeah.
I really would have loved to have him by my side. And whenever we got into some tussles, just raise a bunch of ghouls.
Yes. Okay. So like, this is one of the things I've done in Skyrim in recent years is use mods in order to have like really fleshed out necromancy builds. But to have,
that's what I'm doing right now.
To have like the equivalent of a necromancy build in Fallout 4 would be pretty cool with a companion that summons more ghouls to your side. And you know, and maybe they just even just like climb out of the ground or something. That'd be really weird and kind of fun. Yeah.
I love me a summoner build.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. Let's open this up. What do you guys think about Oswald? Anybody else have some thoughts on this one? Pumpkin?
So glowing ones actually can just, a normal glowing one can raise, and any glowing one can raise other ghouls, raise them from the dead.
That's just all the glowing ones. Right.
But do they
actually come back from death? That's the part that's weird to me.
Well, they're ghouls. The ghoul. You want to talk about weird ghouls? Ghouls are weird. We still don't fully understand them.
Yeah.
I think a lot. Like again, he's a magician, which a lot of times when it comes to a magician of his type, it's usually forced perspective a lot of the time.
Yeah, so, it's like, just it's visual tricks.
And that entire Kitty Kingdom, the court and all that, is set up for his show. So he easily could still have, like, you know, little routes, or like he could put down a smoke bomb and there's a thing underneath him that opens up, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of explanations, real life explanations.
Right, right. And that area is highly irradiated. That's another piece of that. So yeah, maybe they're just playing off of that thing, but there's something about it that always came across to me as being like a little bit more. Also, doesn't he teleport? Isn't that a thing?
Yes, he does. He hits
a smoke bomb and he just vanishes.
Right, but he legitimately just disappears. It's not like he goes, he steps behind the smoke and then runs away and you can like chase him. Like he legitimately just disappears. That was the other piece of it. Now and that I'm remembering because it's been a little while. Now, that part always struck me as like, wait a minute, magic? Does he have a teleporter? Like what is going on? I don't know.
Can he get into the Institute?
Yeah. Is he using Institute technology to like blip around? Like, what is going on with that? Yeah, it's weird to me.
Nah, he could just fast travel.
He's another actual player. He's not an NPC. You're confused. This game is online. He's a player. He's just fast traveling around. Yeah, that sounds like the better explanation. Yes. Yeah, and people in chat are like, now I want to go back and play Nuka World DLC. Yeah, I totally need to go back. Clearly, this is not something that's fresh on my brain. I need to go back and play it again. Any other thoughts on this one? I think he's a cool character. I think it's fun when the devs expand in these kind of ridiculous directions, but still firmly fit in the world. Like that, the juxtaposition of those two things, right? Like, yeah, it's weird. It's funny. But it actually has a story and then connects to like the horror elements of ghouls and all of that. It kind of that combination works for me. Adam Child, do you have any other thoughts?
No, I think we covered it pretty well. I would like to include that on the wiki. It says his full name is Oswald Oppenheimer.
That's cool. I don't remember him having anything to do with nukes, but I guess the radiation is enough of a connection to use the name and the alliteration. I mean, it does kind of sound like a comic book character in a way. So cool. Well, good suggestion. Who would like to go next? Next on our list. Pumpkin's shaking his head. It's not time yet. It's between Lil Green. Lil Green's ready?
Lil Green? I'll go last.
Okay, you go last.
No, I'll go.
Yeah, Lil Green. So something.
I guess my favorite, I'll narrow it down, but like the broader category is like all like the environmental storytelling, but specifically from like 4 and definitely 76 is the teddy bears.
So okay. So what specific, that brings a lot of ideas to my brain, but what specifically about the teddy bears?
It's just like, cause you could find them in just some of the most random like situations. Like, for instance, if you go to the fairgrounds, not the Nuka World fairgrounds, the county fairgrounds, occasionally, mm-hmm, you'll find one in a porta john holding a newspaper.
Yeah.
Or I found like them like playing games with each other, or like I've seen one where they were surrounding three other toys and there was knives through them.
Right.
So it's just like the random storytelling that is done through teddy bears. Mm-hmm. And whether it's like super cute or what the heck is going on here.
Yep. Yeah. Some of it is a little adult. You have like the one teddy bear with the knife threatening the other, or you have the two teddy bears on top of each other, opposite directions.
I'm looking at the wiki right now. Yeah, that's a Fallout 4.
Yeah, that one I remember coming across. And this also applies to things like gnomes. They use gnomes in a similar way. Flamingos sometimes show up in weird ways.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, like, just the environmental storytelling. But, like, the teddy bears just stood out to me.
Yeah, because they're so cute looking.
Yeah, and they're easier to spot, especially in, like, 76, because they have all the different variants of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's, like, that it was always a chuckle, because it made me always be looking out for some. But, like, well, more like when you broaden the category, like, the skeletons as well.
Yeah,
some of the best ones, like, out there. Because I forgot where I found it. I was near the end of one of the DLCs or like end game content, and I came across a skeleton with his neck. He was in like it was an underground cavern, and his neck is stretched out trying to eat a hot dog. It was the funniest thing ever.
That's great.
So like I took a screenshot of it too. So, like I have it somewhere on my computer, but it's just like as a broad category, the environmental storytelling of like, ooh, what were people doing before they died? And then just like everything else that like the developers threw in, whether it's like the flamingos, the teddy bears, or the garden gnomes.
Yeah.
So it's just like it just keeps you wanting to look for more.
Yeah.
Also make you question people's sanity that were making the game.
Well, I think it's part of the fun of being one of the devs, especially you're doing those like the polish pass of, OK, we've got this zone, we've got the quest done, we've got the story. What else can we put in this building to kind of just make it more interesting or for things that people can find and break down and stuff? And so you add those elements and it creates these little stories. And so one of the things that processes in my mind is you, of course, have the skeleton, which tend to be a glimpse into that person's last moments before they died all those years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then you also have the teddy bears and the other things. And it's the question then for me is somebody more recently set that up. Who was that? Like, who is running around the wasteland setting up teddy bears in compromising positions, just hoping somebody's going to come across behind them and find, you know, teddy bears doing weird stuff?
I feel like the more sadistic ones, it's definitely like some sort of raiders or just a bored settler, like of some sort, just like some survivor just being like, how am I going to have fun today? What am I going to do? So that's really the big, like, I feel like, cause that's what I would do. It's just like how, like if I'm bored, what am I going to do to like cause some entertainment? Yeah. It's going to be like, I'm not going to see people's reactions, but I'm like, I know people are going to see this and be like, what?
Right. Like who did this? Who left this here? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's open this up. Do you guys have other memories of coming across teddy bears and things like that? I see Pumpkin. I see your hand, but we haven't talked to Phil as much. So we're going to start with Phil and then we'll go to Pumpkin next. Phil, what do you think about these?
The feral ghouls that sets them up when nobody's watching.
It's the feral ghouls. They're bored. There's nobody to try to attack. So they're just playing with the teddy bears. That's funny. I like that idea. Pumpkin, what are you thinking?
You brought up gnomes. No, I don't believe that those are inanimate. I think those guys are fucking real.
Those guys, the gnomes run around on their own?
If you go to Far Harbor, almost everything, every weird thing that's happening, there's always gnomes nearby. Like there's that giant fire on the water where it's oil burning on the water. Mm-hmm. Do you know who's standing in like on like things on the fire? Fucking gnomes. In Fallout 76, every time you pick up a gnome, guess what happens? You hear a fucking laugh.
So are they haunted or are they more like Toy Story where they just don't move when people are looking at them?
Probably. I don't know, but those guys are alive.
They're alive somehow, huh? Okay. I like this theory. If we're getting into the weird stuff again, like, is it magic? Like, what is going on? What's going on? Anyone else have thoughts on gnomes? Maybe. Do you think the teddy bears are alive? That's different, right? Teddy bears are not the same. Okay, he's nodding his head.
I don't want to say that they're alive, but like some of the situations, like I was just looking at the wiki. Like, there was like a guy chained up in a drain pipe, and you see like a teddy bear holding a Nuka-Cola and a bat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just like, I like, it's like, can it happen? Possibly. Is it happen? Is it really the teddy bear? Probably not. Is it probably someone not. Just like messing around for sure?
Yeah, yeah. But what would then laughing in the gnomes be? That feels like they're haunted. Or, I mean, can you laugh without moving? I don't know that that's a thing.
the only ones that don't laugh are the damaged ones.
So maybe they're alive somehow. Maybe they are another. Maybe they're a weird mutated species. Yeah, mind maybe blown.
Maybe it's just my therapist likes to talk to you kind of situation.
Okay. maybe so. Definitely comment on this episode if you have theories about any of these things, or just tell us that maybe Pumpkin's the one who's imagining it. Maybe it's only Pumpkin. Maybe this only happens to you, Pumpkin. That could be part of it.
But it's,
no, I do distinctly remember the gnomes laughing. So
maybe it's both of you. Maybe you're both losing it. Maybe you played too much Fallout.
What about the mannequins, though?
Yeah. Okay. Mannequins. That's another one.
I could firmly believe that, because like we've had synths act like mannequins in the series, so it can happen.
Mm-hmm. And there was a glitch, and I think it might still be a glitch, where sometimes the mannequins animate like NPCs.
That's Skyrim.
But that doesn't happen in Fallout? Okay, maybe no, I'm confusing the two.
It's only Skyrim.
I mean, Nick Valentine basically almost is a mannequin.
Kind of mannequin-like. That's true. Yeah, but you're right. That is Skyrim. I'm crossing the streams. This is what happens when I do the two shows, is they start to blend together. So yeah, this is a fun one, Lil Green. Any other thoughts on the bears or anything else? No, you're good with this one. Cool. Sounds good. All right, Phil. No Phil, no thrill.
Yes.
What's your thing?
It was not easy. There are many good ones, but I picked Fisto.
Okay, yeah, good old Fisto.
Good old Fisto.
This is a nice transition to where we're eventually going with Pumpkin.
I thought this is a good setup for Pumpkin, and I mean, I also just love like what how big he has become. Like they had him on the TV show.
Yeah,
and every time I see some cosplayer in an ambitious photo with Fisto prop, I just can't hold myself together.
It's pretty good. yeah, this was obviously a New Vegas thing, if you've played New Vegas, and did show up in the TV show recently, so it's the joke is still going. I feel like this was very of its time. Like, that type of edgy humor in a video game was very like late 2000s. I don't know, but it still works. Like, it's still funny. Yeah, what are your thoughts on this? Do you feel like this was like just a joke by the devs, or do you feel like this was a glimpse at something more going on in the world of Fallout and the kinds of things people were into when the bombs dropped? Like, is this, or is it just both?
I think initially they just were having fun with it. I think they were just like, hey, how would it be if like the player character would have to become like a pimp and he has to recruit certain persons, mm-hmm. but and somebody was like, hey, how about when he had to take a Protectron and reprogram him basically into a sex bot.
Right. And clearly you have other themes like that. It's New Vegas. You've got Gamora.
Yes,
there are prostitutes. They are not shy about going into that realm of things. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of the people that worked on Fallout New Vegas also worked on Fallout 2. And mm-hmm. Fallout 2 has also this themes in Reno, like with the industry they have there.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a minute, but yes, that's, yeah, we're heading in that direction. Absolutely. Okay, so here's another question, and I think we can open this up to Pumpkin and you, Phil, and anybody else. Do you think, like, we have seen what seems to be the PG-ification of a lot of Bethesda properties over the years, right? Like, you go back to the events of, I don't know, Daggerfall, or you go back to before Bethesda had Fallout 1, Fallout 2. But then once they got Fallout, even Fallout 3 in New Vegas are a little bit edgier than, say, 4 and 76. Do you think that we're going to see anything else this adult in future? I mean, you look at the TV show and there's all sorts of violence and there's some stuff going on. But when it comes to like the sexual side of things, they tend to kind of, I don't know, be more careful.
I don't know what you're talking about. The show had a guy straight yanking it.
Well, that's true. The show did add that. Yeah. Yeah. There is that.
I was going to say, right. If we're talking about the games.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't think Bethesda will go back in time to like the different like horror bits or like the comedy. But I think if we do get another Obsidian title, because that's where like, you know, Fisto came from.
Right.
So
right.
they really push it because like they also, that's where we had like the slaves and stuff like that. A lot more like,
yeah.
Like,
The crucifixion, like
the crucifixion, like yeah. that is where like a lot of like darker content came from.
Yeah.
So I feel like if the rumors are true and we are getting another game by Obsidian, I feel like it's going to be an edgier title or like at least the content. I mean, I obviously like not only like Bethesda, but also Xbox will probably like pull them back a little bit, but I would expect to see a little bit more.
Mature.
Yeah, definitely mature. Yeah. They have a more mature material. So, I mean, because, like, they are rated M for mature games. And it's not like we're going, like, super, like, into stuff. But, like, doing missions about, like, getting, like, prostitutes for, like, a casino. Like, that's, like, really, that's just one of those things. I'm like, oh, okay, this is out there different. Because, like, it's, where else are you going to do that? Other than, like, maybe a GTA game. But, like... Yeah. I could definitely see Obsidian stepping boundaries.
Yeah, I feel like you're right. I feel like their studio would push those boundaries more than the in-house Bethesda team tends to push those boundaries. Heck, even look at Starfield. Like the adult stuff in Starfield is very toned down. But as you guys said, there was the chicken, we'll call him the chicken lover on the TV show. There's, you know, there are definitely some things in there that are pushing those boundaries.
There's also the scene where Lucy and Maximus talk in World 4 and you realize that Maximus doesn't know what sex is.
Right. When she's like, hey, you want to do it? And he's like, wait,
so
what?
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's there, especially, but I feel like the games are a little bit more toned back.
Mm-hmm.
But also yeah, I was thinking of with the Outer Worlds. Like I did, like it's been a while since I've played them, but I know like there was a lot more, and that's an Obsidian game. And that had a little bit more of the adult themes in it too. So I feel like, yeah, if we're going to see anything like, you know, like we saw from New Vegas, it's going to be from Obsidian because they're the ones that did it.
Right.
So,
right.
And nothing against it. Like I feel like it does add to the game. It gives it a little bit like a different charm. So for sure.
Yeah. There's a sense of realism. Like when you totally avoid those things, it that's not how the real world is. Those things exist. Yeah. Right. And you can, in your own personal life, choose to partake or avoid certain things based on your own tastes. Sure. But when you're basically simulating a world and you don't have those things as a thing, if you know, it feels like it's a little bit less real.
Yeah, especially like it's one of the, like they always, you know, like going like to prostitution again, like it's one of the oldest professions in the world. It really is.
Right, right. So, yeah, like what culture has not had that? Like,
yeah,
you know, like whether you like it or not, it's just part of human culture.
It's always going to be there.
Right. Right.
So,
yeah. Oh, man. Weird stuff. Fun stuff, Phil. But any last thoughts on this one before we move to Pumpkin? Because we're clearly transitioning into this part of the conversation.
Yeah, I think Lil Green was absolutely on point. So,
yeah,
I could not add anything.
Yeah. Solid points, Lil Green. You get to inherit the show when I'm done. Sorry, everyone else. I know. I was going to make you fight over it, but Lil Green wins. So anyway, Pumpkin, what are you talking about? So I've got some news to share. Not only is my breath fresher more of the time, but my teeth are healthier too, because I've been chewing Underbrush remineralized gum from Nathan and Sons, and I can't decide what my favorite flavor is yet. Probably the Cinnamastic, the cinnamon one, but my wife swears by the Mastic Mint. She's more of a mint person, It's a debate every time I get in my car and we grab a piece of gum, because that's what I do. When do you chew your gum? I chew my gum in the car. But yeah, this is great stuff. I also like how the flavors don't just punch you in the face. They're actually like normal amounts of flavors rather than, you know, the mints that like take over your whole mouth. And it's healthy for you because there's hydroxyapatite, the same mineral that your tooth enamel is made from. So it's delicious and helps you take care of your teeth between brushings. It's great. If you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, head over to nathanandsons.com and check out their underbrush remineralized gum. Right now, you can get 30% off your first order when you subscribe. Visit nathanandsons.com today. He has to like compose himself.
No, I actually tapped on a different thing. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about Fallout 2's adult film industry.
Yes.
So I'm taking you guys to the Golden Globes.
Yes. All right. What are you sharing? That is what
the company is called.
It is what the company is called. And I wonder why. Why would they be called that?
Yeah. So looking into this, we only talked about the films that are made on our show on TISM. We only talked about the films that you make. There's so much more that goes into this. Like there's the quest for doing it. This is a full quest line just called becoming a porn star.
Yeah. Right. Yep. They're not even like skirting around this.
No.
Yeah, they're just straight in
to help you get a boost. So like you have to have a if you have a charisma less than 9, you just can't do that quest. But you could do it if you have the made man or prize fighter perks.
Mm. Okay.
The chosen one also needs to have the proper experience, quote unquote. So they have to score better than a 9 on the object_sex_rating formula.
It feels like a code designation.
Made an entire math formula for this game,
right?
And it's like charisma 50 plus endurance 25 plus agility 13 plus strength 12.
I wish I was
over 100 plus another number over 9.
Right. I wish I was in the dev room when they were like, all right, we're having our scrum meeting or whatever. Like, fill us in. What did you do this last week? And what are you working on this next week or whatever? And the one guy's like, well, let me tell you about this thing I put together.
So I'm going to jump here because I can't, there's too much of this. I'm just going to go straight to the titles of the films.
All right. Here we go. Get ready.
The first one is Great Balls for Hire, which is a play on great
balls of fire.
Great balls of fire.
Like the song. Yeah.
Goodwill Humping.
Like the movie.
like the movie Goodwill Hunting.
Yes. Right.
Vault 16.
Okay.
Poca Hot Ass.
Somebody was like, hey man, I've got the best puns. I wonder if they looked these up on the early internet and this is what they found.
And the last one, Pull Out Post-Nuclear Boogaloo.
Nice. Yeah, you always want a boogaloo in a sequel. Oh, those are good. This is good stuff. Yeah, this is another one of those things that comes up every so often, is that when Fallout 1 and 2 came out in the late 90s, these types of games, in fact, the majority of people who played on PC gamers were assumed to be more of an adult audience than the console market had. And so this type of stuff was kind of expected because it was like, that's who our audience is, adults. So let's give them adult content. And yeah, it's a thing.
There's one paragraph I gotta read here. We did not see this when me and Jeremy did our research.
Oh, so breaking news.
If successful, the chosen one becomes a celebrity in New Reno and has the opportunity to choose their own actor name.
Nice.
They can also become a fluffer in order to earn money.
Nice. All right. Different job opportunities. That's always good. You know, keep people employed.
need a trigger warning for this episode.
Oh yeah, man, you were dropping F-bombs already, so this one's gonna get marked for... No, it's fine. I mean, clearly the content is marked for mature on this one. That's another thing warning. I find is
you
funny.
Might get hard
just because of the conversation. If you do, don't tell us. Yeah.
Oh, that was probably like doing that. Like we added that just to one of our just basic episodes that was just a bunch of random stuff. Mm-hmm. That it's still one of the funniest things to me.
Yeah, it's funny. Now, I guess we go back to the question. Do you think we'll ever get anything that directly referenced?
Anything Bethesda makes
outside of the TV show, because clearly the TV show is pushing for like a mature Amazon streaming audience, right? But yeah,
I don't think Bethesda? anything Bethesda made. I think we'd get more chance with Obsidian, but I don't think anything Bethesda.
Yeah it seems highly unlikely, and yet there's a part of me that... so let me back up a little bit. You can tell that the reason why they've kind of PG-13-ified a lot of stuff is a marketing reason, right? It's a, hey, we're on the consoles, we have kind of we can reach a broader audience. There are definitely parents. When Elder Scrolls Oblivion came out and it got switched from a teen rating to a mature rating, there are parents who were just like, oh no, you can't play that game anymore. Like, get rid of it. They wouldn't let their kids play. And yeah, that was 18 years ago. That was a long time ago now. Maybe the world's a little bit different, but maybe not. Some people just like, they respond to the rating part and they don't worry about the content. And it doesn't matter if you're blowing somebody's head off, if there's a joke about a fluffer, oh, that's too far. You know, like, I don't know. It's weird. But yet, to my point, this is where I'm going, is if they went more for a hard mature rating, they might actually sell more copies of the game. I mean, think about how much you mentioned Grand Theft Auto. How much does Grand Theft Auto sell? How many teenagers have played Grand Theft Auto before their...
I was just about to comment on that. It's like every time a Grand Theft Auto drops, there's some controversy about the content in the game. So like without fail. And I feel like it's not the game company's like fault that, you know, like, kids are getting their hands on these games. It's honestly the parents, because they're not like doing their due diligence. It's like, oh, like little Johnny wants this game. And then like 3 hours later, they hear them saying something horrific that they're doing. And
they're the same
parents.
They're the same parents who let Johnny have the console in his room and hang out in his room with his door closed all day. And then,
yeah,
what's Johnny doing? I don't know. And it's like, come on, pay more attention to your kids. Yeah.
So, but I was going to say, like, there is, I guess, a softening of to like the content, just because they don't like... I'm pretty sure like they're under enough pressure as it is. They don't want to have any controversies with them because they already have issues with their games just in general. So because everybody, you know, like it's a Bethesda game. It's going to be janky to a point. So.
Right. And I feel like it's harder to predict those things as we move on, because anything that's controversial can either be swung into the side of like, oh, it's the end of the world, they're not the same developers they used to be, everything sucks, it's Todd's fault. Or it gets flipped the other way and they're like, oh, finally, they're loosening up and they're doing things that are cool again. You know, but it could go either direction, and you never know.
Yeah, I mean, like, the content might not be the biggest thing, but it's just like, I feel like every time there's like a new update to like 76, or anytime like someone talks about like Fallout 4 or Elder Scrolls, they talk about some glitch that it was never fixed, or they go and try and fix it and they break something else.
Yeah, they put a new update and it messes with their mod.
So it's just like,
loadover.
I feel like they want to avoid as much negative press as they can related to their games. So,
yeah.
But like, it'd be nice to see, because it's like, oh, like now we're getting into like, I'm not, you know, we're like most of us that are playing these games, we're not young children, we're adults. Like, we, you know, it's you know, you don't have to engage in it either. That's the other thing,
right?
So especially in like the, like, you know, talking about, you know, becoming a porn star or a fluffer, you don't have to engage in that to like beat the game,
right?
So
and that's the thing, is that like, you could just go to that part of the game and go, Nope, don't want to do that. Going somewhere else. Like, it's especially if it's not required for the main storyline, you don't have to do every quest in the game, you know? And people avoid things too, because they're like, oh, I don't like that quest because you have to be mean to somebody or whatever. Whatever reason it is, I don't want to do
people
it.
People have done pacifist runs.
Yeah.
You don't have to kill in this game.
Yeah, that's very extreme. But hey, you know, like, that's the thing, is that that's what's part of what's fun about an RPG, is that you get to play it the way that you want to play it. And so, like, if you don't want to be a part of Caesar's Legion and help with slavery, then don't do it. You know, like, it's the same argument. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting stuff. Well, this is fun, because we went from fun and goofy stuff to things that became kind of dark. And but I guess it's all, again, it's all intermixed. It's Fallout. It's all, they're all there together at the same time. But thank you for joining, everybody. This has been super fun. And I'm seeing some, you guys are sending chat. Void, do you want to share something? I know you're sending some stuff in chat. I didn't know if you wanted to share it, like, voice on the actual episode.
No, I mean, Tom just Logan had said in the side chat of the Zoom call, Tom just casually calling out the breaking Bethesda did to Skyrim recently.
Yeah, right.
And in my mind, breaking Bethesda has quite a good alliteration there. So my mind went, breaking Bethesda, Breaking Bad. Let's use skooma instead of meth.
So, blue skooma.
Skooma and Jet.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the games even have drugs in them, you know, like oh, but there's talk
and
about
they're
a
not light drugs either.
Yeah, no, they're like mess you up. And yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining me in chat. Thanks for being here. And real quick, thank you to all of our patrons for your support. I don't have any new to shout out this week, but I do have our sentry bots, Germinator, Nova, the main monkey, and Era. Thank you so much for your continued support as well. And if you'd like to help the show and keep it growing and all of that, share it with a friend or leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I'll read those out on a future episode. But guys, we're gonna wrap this up. It's time for your little elevator pitches. If you've got anything to put into the world or ways that you want people to reach out to you, feel free to share. We're just going to go in order on the screen. Phil, thanks for taking the time, staying up late and joining us. Got anything to share?
Always such a pleasure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can find me on the Discord and on Instagram at NoPhilNoThrill. I'm at another episode of the NukaCast, I think next week. I've really been on a lot of episodes there.
Nice. Are you gonna? So, it sounds like you're making your way to like regular member of the show.
Yeah. Basically, I'm like more of a regular now. I've been a regular on like them doing these retro episodes once per season. So I'm a regular there, and then I like started to fill in when one of the other guys couldn't make it. Nice. So yeah, it's getting really going for me. Part time podcaster now.
Yeah, that's great. And it's all in German. So if German speakers listen to the show, want more Fallout to listen to, go check out the NukaCast.
Yes.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, that's so fun for you. That's great. Thanks for joining us. All right, Void. Yes. Void, you got stuff to share?
Hi. I have one thing. Dungeons and Dipshits, everybody. You know that I've been advertising it for a long time. I'm still advertising it. Go listen to it. If you like dungeons, cool. If you like dragons, even cooler. If you like dumbasses doing dumb shit, cool. We're the dumbasses doing dumb shit.
That's the main reason.
We're the dipshits doing dumb stuff. So, anyway, go listen to Dungeons and Dipshits.
Thanks, Boyd. Thanks for being here. Lil Green, anything you want to share? Anything going on?
Well, I'll just share my typical, please go follow my photography page on Instagram. It's Lil Green_photography. And as we were talking about it in the pre-show, fair warning, I've been photographing a lot of local pole dancing groups, so be aware of that. And also drifting and other stuff going on as well. So, yeah. So
living the life. There you go.
Yes. Well, yes. No, please follow me. I do post, you know, a bunch of different stuff as well. I got some interesting shoots coming up for the Halloween season. So, yeah, it'd be nice to get some new followers.
Cool. Yeah, go check out his stuff. Thanks, Lil Green. Pumpkin, what's going on?
Well, of course, we have our, the other show that Jeremy is on, called Tism Talk/Moments, depending where you're searching. Currently, I am the one editing this week's episode, so if it's a day late, I apologize.
pro quality there. You're just doing the best job you possibly can, right?
This is my first time editing.
Nice. Hey, man, it's. I am all for learning new things and trying stuff out.
Yes, but this is actually a really, it's a short episode, but it's a big episode.
Yeah, can you spoil the topic or the title?
Oh yeah, that's fine. Jeremy, are you cool with me just announcing that? Okay. We got to film in somebody else's booth at Gen Con.
Oh, fun.
We got to hang out with a group called the Storyteller Squad. And apparently they're a huge like tabletop group, and their main game is Monster of the Week.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So
yeah.
We got to hang out with them. We got to do a little bit of filming. We talked about cryptids while we were there. So that's what this next episode's going to be. So there's a lot of background noise. So yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to record. I've done some recording. I've done interviews at places like this. Like it's tricky, but yeah, good luck with it. And look for things. There are things, depending on the program you're using, that can help clean up that audio. And that stuff has gotten a lot better over the last few years. So look for some of that stuff. But yeah, go check out Tism Talks. Thanks, Pumpkin. Then Adam's Child, you're wrapping it up for us.
Hello. I'm Adam's Child on the Robots Radio Discord. You can find me on Instagram at... wait, hold on. I got to remember my Instagram. _JT_Sims with 2 M's. And I just finished making a couple feature films. I don't know where they're going to be.
Like starring in, acting in them?
Yes,
or?
Acting in
okay,
them.
Okay, cool.
So those are going to be, those are indie Michigan films. So
do you know the names that people can look them up when they
come
out?
Yeah. So there's Anatomy of a Man. And then there is Shirley. One of them is about a group of friends who are really bad for each other. And then the other one is about a high school pitcher who finds his faith. So look for those within the next year.
I think you're reminding Pumpkin of titles of some of the movies that he just talked about. The Anatomy of a Man.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
yeah. Well, that's awesome. Congratulations on actually, you know, getting that stuff done and out there into the world. That's great.
Thank you.
Anything else? I guess that's it. Instagram, you kind of shared everything. So cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
If you want to find me, come find me.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for being here. I don't know that I have anything else to share on the end of this episode, but man, this one was super fun and weird. If you'd like to join us on future chats like this, come jump in. You can sign up on the Patreon and we'd love to have you. And that's going to do it for this week. Chat, thanks for being here as well. I'll see you next time. Stay safe out there in the wasteland. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.